Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Good morning, Sam and Greg. I'm beautiful looking Sunday morning. A little nippy out there still.
Just a little bit, but it's supposed to warm up today. This is going to be a really, really nice day.
Man,
looking forward to it.
It's been a while since we've seen the sun.
I know it. 2 days in a row.
What are we gonna do?
We got the sun.
We gotta go out and enjoy it. I wonder if there's a golf course open.
Oh, I'm sure they will find open. Absolutely.
Now you got me with two different thoughts running through my head. At some point, we are going to hear, and probably the next hour, top of the next hour, because we have an extra hour. We should let folks know about that.
Yes.
Season's over with.
We're with you until 10.
We will be on until 10 o'clock this morning. So coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to be talking more NFL action, obviously more college football as we get ready for the national championship. But hear from Coach Dan Quinn and GM Thomas Dimitroff.
Yes.
About the Falcons moving forward, what they can expect, what we can expect as fans. So
a lot of people want to hear that.
Yeah.
They want to hear something after this past season.
I just leave it. They want to hear something.
They want to hear something.
What is going on? What is happening next with this team? So we're gonna get into that in the 9 o'clock hour. Listen, man, I'll be honest with you. We're gonna talk about this and I have some opinions, but I haven't been paying attention to college basketball for the most part. I mean, Zion Williamson, he's doing 360.
Did you see that stuff?
Yeah, I saw it. I saw the replay of it.
A guy that size doing that is pretty amazing. And why everybody wants to watch Duke these days. People usually pay attention to Duke anyway, but I think that guy's making a lot of people tune in and pay attention to what they're doing.
I just, you know, do you want to be number one right now? You heard different people say, you know, you really want to peak coming up here in about a month or so.
Yep. Coach Mike Krzyzewski doesn't really care about being number one right now. And even doesn't mind if they even drop a game or two, but as long as the round tournament.
Well, they have dropped a game.
Yep, around tournament time, they have it all together. Because once again, they're young. They're this incredibly talented team, and they're young. And when they drop a game, he's able to coach them because he knows when he gets to the tournament, you're going to run up against a team like a Butler, like a Gonzaga, who have these guys who stay for three, four years. And that's been the, you know, sometimes you get the teams with that experience will take down that team of those flying young freshmen who have their eyes on the NBA. We saw that last year big time. We had a 16 take out of one in schools like Loyola of Chicago.
Here's the crazy thing, though. That's not something that's special anymore, having a young team. It's all about one and done's, man.
But I'm just saying,
a team full of juniors and seniors, I think is exclusive to the mid-majors for the most part. That's when you run into them.
Right.
But the powerhouses.
He knows that's what's out there at tournament time, though. At tournament time, those guys are out there. They're like landmines. They're you know, you run up into them. They ran up a team from down in Macon and Mercer several years ago. Took Duke out in the first round. I mean, but after it's over, Coach K said, hey, those are grown men. Those guys are 22, 23 years old. My kids are 17, 18, you know, 19-year-old guys. And so that's to me, that's the reality you run into. But this team is so talented with guys who are just superior athletes. And while we look at them as being a team, a one and done, how about Kentucky? They lost to Alabama yesterday. You know,
that was the novelty. They were the novelty. Calipari and what he was doing, now everybody's doing. And it was surprising when Coach K started doing it, meaning going after specifically the one and done.
He was the last of the major schools to have guys leave early. Yeah, I mean, I think, man, I forget who the first guy was, but for years they always bragged about nobody left.
You talking about Duke?
Yeah. It was a long time before anybody would leave that school early to go to the NBA.
Didn't Austin Rivers only do 1 year?
Yeah, that was something before him.
No, I know that, but I'm just saying that's the last one I was thinking of.
Yeah, I mean, he's had one and dones now, but for the longest time the thing was all during the days of Grant Hill and Hurley, all those guys.
Oh, absolutely.
All those guys went 4 years.
Yeah.
And nobody would leave early for the league. And so now he's made that adaptation, something that his mentor didn't do very well at Indiana, talking about Bobby Knight. He refused to recruit those guys to Indiana that he knew were going to check out.
Plus, they didn't want to play for him.
You know, well, if it's only going to be for 1 year.
No, they didn't want to. I mean, 1 year of Bobby Knight's knowledge could be beyond reproach for a player, but they don't want to put up with the other stuff. You get 1 year of Bobby Knight teaching you basketball, and if he was receptive to that, like coaches are today, that would be something that would make you go, okay, well, I could take that.
Yeah.
But then you got to put up with all this other stuff with Bobby Knight. Then you go, nah, not going, not doing it.
So the day's play. Once again, today's players wouldn't be able to handle
it. Hey, in a related story?
Yeah.
Rick Pitino's winning streak ended.
I heard. Over in wherever he is.
I can't pronounce the name. I'm not even going to try. He's over in Europe someplace.
Over
I want to say Greece.
He is.
I can't pronounce the name, but his winning streak ended at 2.
Wow.
But this was just his third game of the season, I think. So he's not making it back, is he?
No, I don't think so. I mean, should he need to?
Why does he need to coach anyway? He's in the Hall of Fame. We can't miss you, man, if you don't leave.
Yeah, but because right? he can, because he can, because somebody will always offer him that opportunity, and so he's going to go and coach another part of the world, and you know, good luck to him.
The conversation swirling college basketball, and we're going to get into this more with DeShawn Tate, who's going to join us at 8:20, is Tennessee.
Yeah.
That was the conversation early on. They're sitting at 11-1 right now, third in the nation on both the major polls.
No problem with Georgia yesterday.
Man.
No problem with Georgia.
I can't wait for this knowledge from DeShawn because he always brings it. You got to wonder, you got these teams with different schedules and who they played and powers, and you got two lost teams that are sitting down in the rankings, and you got one lost teams that are over undefeated teams. It just I don't know what to think right now. Like I said, we've been paying a whole lot of attention to football.
Yeah. Well, also, I'll throw in the guys from down on Decatur Street. Georgia State had another big win on the road. Shout out to Coach Ron Hunter and the Panthers, 73-69 over Texas State. I'm sure Deshaun's going to talk more about them.
When can we hear him there? Isn't Coach on the station?
We get him. Yeah, we get him. And, of course, the games are heard downstairs and around the corner on 1380 WAOK. They'll be back home Thursday night against Louisiana. It's in Lafayette. They don't want to be called Lafayette anymore.
Yeah, okay.
So the Louisiana will be down on Decatur Street at the Sports Arena Thursday night, and so that would be a 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock tip-off for that game Thursday night. You want to get down and catch Georgia State.
We're not losing Coach Hunter around here, are we? Because remember, that was a conversation a couple years ago.
Nobody, folks in Athens didn't call him. They had a thing open over here on North Avenue. They didn't call him. So, I mean.
Well, maybe he doesn't stay in Georgia.
You know,
where he offered another position.
I think he likes it here. I think he enjoys it here. Obviously, his name comes up because of what he's been able to do here at Georgia State. But in a few months, or I don't know, maybe in a few weeks, they're going to turn some dirt over here near Pete's place.
Yeah,
and they're going to break some ground on a new facility that will house basketball at Georgia State. And to me, if Georgia and Georgia Tech don't have their acts together by the time that place is built, cancel Christmas.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. If you're just joining us, one of the things that has been a thread throughout the show is, as we've talked about PETA going after the NCAA and the mascots that they use.
They didn't go after the NCAA.
That's what they're really going to have to do.
They wrote a statement about what happened at the Sugar Bowl and basically said that Georgia and Georgia Tech should cease using live mascots.
But they don't want any schools using live mascots, correct?
Yeah, but that means it falls under.
They're going to have to go to the home office and say, y'all are going to have to get rid of this. So they're going to have to go to
the
NCAA.
NCAA got control
No, I don't
that?
Think they do at all, but that's where they're going to have to start if they want to eliminate that from all the 100-plus schools in Division I, which I don't believe is going to happen, but that's where their argument has to start, because if they go to individual schools, colleges say, hey, listen, it's a part of college football or college sports.
I don't like the kidnapping of the mascot thing that Army and Navy usually do from time to time, the donkey and the goat and, you know, who kidnaps what. And that's really how, like I said last week, how Bevo got his name. He was kidnapped by Texas A&M folks. And so that's...
So we've been talking about what happened at the Sugar Bowl, right? And that got us to, obviously, it could have been a lot worse than the way it turned out. You got these horns on this longhorn steer and could have gored somebody. Okay, that's the obvious. But having these animals on the sidelines and the conversation that's surrounding that, whether they should be there or not. And I have been saying throughout the show, I'm not worried about the steers. While, yeah, it got a little sideways, you brought another animal up to it, but it was under wraps fairly quickly by the handlers. You talked about the bison and the Colorado.
Buffalo out of
the
Colorado.
The buffalo out there.
Ralphie the buffalo.
Other ones around. My thing is this. I'm more worried about that eagle that flies into a stadium that gets spooked. Hawks are taking on the Heat today. You told a story about the hawk that got spooked by Dwayne Wade.
Yep.
And went up and landed on the scoreboard.
Yeah,
I'm saying there's a possibility of the bird who doesn't have a handler, who's flying in, and from time to time we've seen that bird, you know, not land on its handler. and got a 4 foot wingspan and talons the size of your foot.
Yep.
And if that digs into
something. Why it got to be the size of my foot?
Because it is. For the purposes of this story. It got a big.
Wait a minute.
Whoa.
What my feet got to do with the eagle's talons?
Anyway, if that thing lands on somebody's shoulder or lands on somebody's head and digs those talons in, we got a real problem. We got a real situation. And we've seen this bird. We've seen birds like that throughout the time of these big events. I'm talking Super Bowl. I'm talking national championships. You want to argue with me about this? Mike's in Fairburn. Mike, welcome to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What's up?
Morning, Mike. Happy New
Year.
Hey,
how are you guys doing?
Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year to you. Hey, I was going to tell you, I used to know a guy that had pigeons. And they would book him, and he would let the pigeons go at the last line of the Star-Spangled Banner. Well, then he quit being booked because all the schools wanted, or teams too, because he did the Braves and other places, they wanted eagles. So he quit being booked so they could do the eagle being released at the last line. So a lot of schools and places do it more. We don't see it because they don't air the Star-Spangled Banner until the playoffs. That's when you get, like, somebody famous doing it. Like, me and you could actually sing the Star-Spangled Banner if we need somebody at the Braves during the season, and it's not going to be on TV.
Of course it won't. Not if you and I are singing it. You're absolutely right.
But they do let more eagles go, but there's not many guys out there that have the eagles, so they get booked pretty quick.
Okay.
I don't think that's a profession. You know, that a lot of people go, hey, I want to start letting eagles go at all these sporting events. Because the guy knew he only got like a couple hundred bucks. They fed him the meals. He got to watch the rest of the game. Because his birds actually flew back home. No matter where he went, his flew back to his house, which was kind of crazy.
Yeah.
That's something right there, Trey. I thought he was going to have a horror story about an eagle landing on something.
We're talking about birds flying back places. Those would be funeral homes. Funeral homes teach birds to. They do.
What?
Don't look at me like that.
I elaborate, please, for funeral. Not only me, funeral. But the audience. What are you talking about?
You've never
about?
Seen them release a bird or something at a funeral. The funeral homes teach the birds how to fly back.
I never seen that before.
I don't think I've seen that either, as a matter of fact. I never heard that story before. I think that the birds being released at any stadium and flying back home is supremely fascinating.
Especially if it's like, you know, a good distance away, like
yeah,
a couple
and
stations.
Yeah,
away.
And they're always in a different place. How do they do that?
And you're going to have a bald eagle. Okay, you
they must have like radar
DC.
Trackers on their feet or something.
So let me ask you a question.
You ain't seen these pigeons and these doves at these funerals that they release?
I have seen them, but I just thought, you know, off go the pigeons. Here they go off into the wild.
They fly back to the funeral.
How do you know?
How do I? That's what they do. Because they got another funeral next week.
I've been to funeral homes. I've never seen a little pigeon cage in the back or a dove cage.
Dude, they don't show you that unless you have to pay extra for that.
Oh, you got, man. You should stay. For those of you tuning in to Sam and Greg for the first time and wonder why we don't talk sports, no, we're the two old dudes in the balcony on the Muppets. This is what goes on here. We try to talk sports, and then he can be funeral bird things. Deshaun Tate is going to bring some basketball knowledge.
How about that?
Real
about
basketball
that? Yes,
knowledge
please,
next.
Please do. Please do.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Good morning, Sam and Greg. Beautiful looking Sunday morning.
Morning.
Clear. Sun's out.
Yep.
Got NFL action throughout the day today. You just heard the update when you'll be able to hear those games right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Got the big game, of course, tomorrow night. College National Championship.
National Championship
which
game.
We will be talking more about next hour. We're going to talk more football next hour, but we've only really kind of dipped our toe a little bit into basketball. A little bit of Hawks. A little bit of college basketball, but not so much because everybody's kind of focusing on football. But we need to really start getting people acclimated to what's going to happen next. And that's the college basketball season and what's going on there. And for that, it just means Deshaun.
It does.
We got to wake him up.
He's a guy.
Make him come with the knowledge.
He is here.
You there?
I'm here, man. Good morning, Clark and Brother Crenshaw. I appreciate you guys for having me. You guys talking about football. I'm like, will this thing ever end? Will we ever talk basketball? Though I can't imagine we would have more Pop Warner training camp to talk next or something. Let's get into basketball already.
There you go. That's Sam right there. He'll bring you that information about Pop Warner next week.
Pop Warner, no, man.
You'll be bringing some kind of football, lower level football knowledge. because everybody calls you with the information. Hey, last time we talked to you, Deshaun, it was about Zion Williamson. It's been a few weeks since we had you on, and while there's some other stories, here we are again leading off with what this guy did, but it all comes down to dunks.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing is if nobody can stop it, you know, why go away from it? And I think sometimes that there's too much energy being put on what another guy is going to be at the next level. And, of course, at some point we do have to think about that. But sometimes we put too much emphasis on that. Let's sit back and kind of enjoy what we're looking at, the greatness that we're looking at right now. Now, the scary part of it is that, you know, anyone in the NBA, he's like the second heaviest guy if he was to be at the next level at this point, coming in at 285. And it's scary for a guy who's probably only going to come into the draft at like 6'6 or something, right around that range, and carrying a lot of that weight for a guy that size. And he hasn't been healthy in his high school career in the last two, and I think the 2 years prior to entering at Duke. So that's going to be scary. But my concern is that people are just putting too much emphasis on the Zion Williamson at the next level. Let's enjoy Zion Williamson right now. He looked great last night. He gets on the floor for a guy that size, dives after loose balls and gives you chance that second chance points and all kind of stuff, rebound the basketball. Ben Simmons, it wasn't a great outstanding shooter either. He seems to be doing okay.
All right, Deshaun, then that being said, and we won't bring him or Duke up as they sit at number one, for somebody who's now paying attention to college basketball or wants to, what's the story or what are the stories that they should be focusing on as this season is underway?
Well, it's pretty wide open for anybody that's going to win this thing. You know, to be honest with you, I mean, we entered yesterday with four unbeatens. Another one lost yesterday in Nevada, who got blown out by over 20 points by New Mexico on the road. And people were talking about them potentially going undefeated for the rest of the way leading into the tournament. That won't happen. People aren't paying attention to Houston. That's something else. They're one of the undefeated teams, along with two other teams that are undefeated that I really believe have a chance at winning a national championship, and that's Michigan, who came close last year, and Virginia, who, you know, looked really good for the last few years and obviously lost, what, one or two games entering the tournament last year, lost to 16 for the first time in history. And so I think that there's not going to be a lot of believers, not just because of what Virginia did last year, and the same thing with Michigan, but just the fact that they're not, quote-unquote, and I hate to use this term, but I'm going to use it anyway, they don't have the sexy style of play that people like to see. They don't have the five-star players and the athletes and all this other kind of stuff, guys that can jump so high and look like they can jump up there and probably change the light bulb at the top of the gym. They don't have all those type of guys. So, you know, the reality is enjoying basketball for what it is, the way it was designed to be played back when Dr. James Naismith did it in 1891. That is playing the way that Virginia and Michigan plays basketball, and those are wouldn't surprise me to be two teams that can make the deepest runs when March rolls around.
Spending some time on the WaitForIt.com outline with Deshaun Tate. He is our college hoops guru. You can follow him, of course, on Twitter at Tate's Take Sports. Bring it closer to home, Deshaun. We saw an impressive conference win for Georgia Tech yesterday. Not so much for Georgia on the road up in Tennessee, but thoughts about what we're seeing with college basketball around our area.
Well, I'll tell you what, first and foremost, we talk all this stuff about how Georgia Tech can't shoot from the perimeter, and they typically haven't. I think that one of their better days was yesterday, shooting 30% from three, but they shot 55% from the field. What they were able to get out of Evan Cole with his 9 points, that contribution from him, and then even more so from Brandon Austin off the bench, they get 14 from him, turn around, and they get some love from Mike DeVoe, who is a true freshman. He chips in 16. It's not just Jose Alvarado, the Jose Alvarado show that people were kind of afraid was going to happen. I was entering this season for Georgia Tech, and, you know, when talking to Josh Pastner a couple weeks ago entering Christmas break, he said, We're going to need Santa Claus to come down the chimney and bring us some scoring. And he did exactly that. Now, however, on the opposite side of that, Wake Forest is one of the worst teams, along with Georgia Tech and probably Pittsburgh. So moving forward, Georgia Tech's going to have a pretty tough time entering conference play. Now, we're talking about Georgia being the team that beat Georgia Tech just a couple weeks ago, and they shot 5% from three. Now, granted, they played the number three team in the country in Rocky Top in Tennessee on the road, but 5% from three, you got to be a little bit or a lot of bit better than that.
Yeah, you
and
do.
I'm afraid that some of Tom Crean's worst days we have not seen yet. But I really have a little bit more belief that he's going to be able to turn this thing around a little bit sooner than Josh Pastor probably will be able to. Last but not least, Georgia State. They go on the road. They beat Texas State, a Texas State team that's pretty good. I don't think that they're anything worth sneezing at per se, but it's still a good road win in conference play for anybody in any conference, especially in the Sun Belt where, you know, you do have a few tough teams, especially one to look ahead to with Georgia Southern pretty soon within the next month or so.
Sean, take a breath.
Sir.
take a deep breath, man.
He just got it,
man. I'm mad. DeShante joined us here, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. He evoked the phrase, Rocky Top. Talking about Georgia's loss to Tennessee earlier. When Sam and I started talking about college basketball this season, one of the big stories was Tennessee and how they've turned things around. In the rankings right now, they're sitting at number 3. Do you see this sustainable, and what did they do differently this year that's brought them back?
I don't really think they did anything different, Greg. I really don't. I mean, they've got a lot of the guys returning, and they look like one of the very few teams, along with Virginia and Michigan, and that's exactly why they deserve to be ranked so high, is those are three teams that look like they came off of doing what they did last year and rolled right into this year and never missed a beat. Now, granted, one thing that helped all of those teams is I don't think that they really lost anything to the draft or very many graduating players, and they have really good coaches. I'm not the biggest fan, per se, of Rick Barnes, but he's getting the job done. This is a Tennessee team last year that came into the season and expected to finish second to worst in SEC play and ended up tying with Auburn for the conference championship. And that's something that's likely going to happen again this year. Kentucky, right when we thought they were going to turn the corner a little bit, they took a loss yesterday to Avery Johnson in Alabama. That's a really bad loss. And it's going to be up and down for a lot of teams. I don't think Tennessee will be one of them, but I just don't think that they'll miss a beat. And I mean, they're rolling right now. They look a little different, but I think that it definitely is. But to be a top 5 team on season, certainly a top 10 team on season, Tennessee has to get ready to start entering this tournament with a Elite 8 or bust type of mentality.
Spend some time on the waitforit.com hotline with Sean Tate. Once again, you can follow him on Twitter at Tate's Take Sports. He has all kind of information, podcasts, and so much more about college basketball. He has. You mentioned Auburn. And the fact that they're a team that we will watch in the Southeastern Conference, as we saw Kentucky lose yesterday. Mississippi State is kind of out there, too. Those guys are going to kind of give Tennessee a bit of a run, or you feel like it's Tennessee's conference to pretty much win or lose?
No, I don't. I think Auburn is one of the teams, obviously, that can definitely, you know, challenge Tennessee. And I think Mississippi State being a really good team with Quindary Weatherspoon. They got two brothers, the Weatherspoon brothers, and they're very good. And, you know, they're a well-coached team as well. If I remember correctly, I just can't think of the name of the coach right off, but Ben Howland, that is. You know, coached UCLA to 3 straight, you know, Final Fours at one point, and then turn around. And, you know, now he's at Mississippi State, and I didn't think that was a great hire. And while I still don't think it's an amazing hire, he's doing a really good job. They're ranked, and they're going to surprise some people. That's going to be one team within conference play that nobody's paying attention to in the SEC. Now, in the ACC, I'd say that's NC State. But in the SEC country over here as well, I think that team is probably going to be Mississippi State, who's really good, really sound team. They're fairly deep, and not the deepest team, and not the most experienced team either, and not the most talented team, but they're a really good team, and they're coached really well. You start looking at some of those coaches around the conference, you got some pretty good coaches around the SEC. I'm just afraid that, you know, there's some programs that typically are really good that aren't as good this year that can make it a little bit stronger, and one of those is Florida.
You know, Sean, we don't let you come on here and bring on this knowledge without having you spend a little bit of time talking about your boys up in Michigan. So tell us what Tom Izzo's got going on with those Spartans.
Well, they're playing really good basketball for right now. I think they probably got their best win on the season yesterday on the road against Ohio State. And, you know, this is one thing about Michigan State. They're going to be ready to play come around this time of the year, the deeper and, you know, closer and closer that you go into getting towards, you know, conference tournament play and all those things. But, you know, they're playing good basketball. They're rebounding the basketball well. They're one of the better field goal percentage teams in the country. And, you know, they rebound it. They play Michigan State type of basketball. You know, they're going to bring their, like I always tell you, I told you a couple weeks ago, hard hat and lunch pails. You know, that's what they do. They play a football almost, in a quote unquote to say, on the basketball court. And they just have a different kind of mentality as a team, but they're growing as a team. They're deeper. I think even though they lost two players from last year into the lottery with Miles Bridges and Jaren Jackson, they look a little bit better from a chemistry standpoint. And you know, right now they look good, but, I mean, they've got work to show and prove. And just like everybody else around the country, Cassius Winston is one of the better perimeter shooters in the country as well. But they're going to have their hands full with teams like Wisconsin and Michigan as well. And so, you know, it's going to make out to be a really, really good Big Ten. I think the Big Ten is probably the deepest league in the country this year, if not nothing else, second to the ACC.
All right, listen, man, we got to go. You enjoy your day. Got college basketball for you to watch. Also got some football going on in case you want to see that, too.
Yeah, that's happening today,
too. You know, there's some football going on.
No, thanks. I'm all done with it.
He's done with football.
He ain't even having it. How about the Hawks? He's still watching that little Heat today? Some NBA?
I do have to work, but I'm all in. As long as it's a round ball and we can bounce that thing on 94 feet, yeah. I'm good of hardwood. I'm good on that. You guys can have the football stuff. I'm over here with this.
This all man right. has turned the page. He has turned the page.
You are next for the next few months, man. Deshaun, as always, we appreciate it.
No, thank you guys for having me. I appreciate
all
it.
Right. All right, thanks a lot.
Deshaun, we got to do that every time he comes on. We got to let him talk about Michigan State.
Oh, have to.
Let him keep him happy. And don't you find that interesting? You got two of these two teams having success and two entirely different styles of play.
Mm-hmm.
Coming from that region.
Isn't that something? From that region. Man. Could be there in the end. Both of them could be in the final.
I always think of Coleman Young when he says, lunch bucket kind of shitty. That's the only thing I can remember about hearing about something. I saw him on the news back in the day. We are going to talk about this. Super Bowl is coming to our city and some of the changes that you may or may not have seen around Atlanta. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's Sam and Greg. Good morning. Beautiful looking Sunday morning. Rain is out of the area for at least the next few days.
Yep.
Definitely any kind of hard rain is not coming until next weekend. So, you know, that's good news.
Yeah.
That is
It's just
real.
Great to see the sun.
We also need to pass on, so this is the weekend, it's the cutoff for getting holiday decorations down.
Yeah.
This is the first weekend. Everybody's going to be procrastinating. If you had folks in town, like we did, you kind of put some things off, but this is the weekend the tree got to come down.
Yeah.
I say that because I got to take mine down.
Yeah, we got to get out. Let's get all our stuff off. I got everything off the front. We just got the stuff in the house all put up, all put away.
So it's just last.
Got to get it done.
That's going to be what's going on during the games.
I think they had the thing they do for the chipper yesterday, the thing where they do the live trees.
Oh, for live trees?
Yeah, I think they had that done yesterday in town. They always have that.
I got to get another tree. Yep. Not a live tree, but one with lights on and all that stuff. I got to get another one. I'm in need of an electrician, too.
An electrician?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I got one, but I could use another one.
How many you need?
I just, you know, you can never have too many electricians.
Why do you take two or three?
I told you about the five friends you should have. Not necessarily have to have, but if you have these, you're pretty much taken care of. You get your doctor, you got your lawyer, you got your IT guy, you got your accountant, and you got your mechanic. You got those five friends, you'd be good in most things in life.
Most things, most things.
So you want to tell everybody what happened to us yesterday? I'll tell them.
Okay.
And you can just play along.
All right.
So Sam and I are leaving yesterday morning.
Yes.
After the show.
Outside the Kia Studios.
Yes. We're walking out here in
Midtown.
Colony Square, 14th and Peachtree Street, which is being ripped up, turned around, upside down. This place better look like the Taj Mahal for what they put us through getting in and out of this building.
I'm telling you.
But it's moving forward, right? There's a lot of construction going on here. Between 14th and 15th Street, right there where that Midtown sign is, okay, the multicolor Midtown sign in front of Colony School, the 400 building here.
Right across from Norfolk Southern.
Exactly. In fact, to be more precise, right in front of the N in Midtown, the last letter, there is a tree right there on the – before you get to the actual Peachtree Street. And we walked out yesterday, and on the ground next to that tree was a human being.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, we're telling this story because everything worked out. But there was a couple that the guy was walking his dog, and there was a woman standing there. And we noticed them because they weren't just walking. They were just kind of standing and looking perplexed. And the woman was on the phone. And that's when we noticed there was a gentleman just kind of on the ground.
Not responding.
Not respond. In fact, the guy yelled to us, he's non-responsive. Now, between the time he told us that and we walked over there, she got 911 on the phone. We went and looked, thought we could, you know, let me try and see if I can wake the guy up. Now, you sort of stayed back.
Yeah, I did.
But I've seen this before in my life. It was like the second time this has happened to me. So the other couple was over there, so I thought I'd try. Hello, excuse me, buddy. Hello? How you doing? You know, no response. The point of it is, within 2.5 to 3 minutes, am I correct? There was an ambulance there.
Yep.
That's the point of the story, that Atlanta's Finest got there, the ambulance was there, and then a cop showed up.
Yep.
And then shortly thereafter,
fire truck.
A fire truck with the lights going on happened.
Yep.
Turned out that this person had just had, wasn't a homeless person. It was somebody who had, he was still enjoying New Year's Eve,
yeah,
apparently.
A little too much.
So he was put in there and he was going to be fine, we were told by the paramedics. But this is what I was.
That wasn't a good look, though, man.
It wasn't.
Right on the sidewalk. He was stretched out there on the sidewalk.
But I was taken away because we don't think that the response normally is going to be that quick. And it was. And that's the point of what I want to say, because we get a lot of people that were EMTs that listen to us, that police that listen to us.
Right.
Firemen that listen to us, and we want you to know that we acknowledged the speed in which you got to this situation yesterday. And that's why I wanted to bring that story up. The guy's okay, and the people that came, the first responders, if you will, they were there. Weren't you surprised at the amount of time, how fast they got there?
It was quickly, and I heard a siren. I said, there's somebody on the way. That was very quick response.
Yeah, it was.
Very
so
quick response.
We wanted to take a second and acknowledge those
of you that
work in that field. Now, they're also going to have another job coming up here in about a month or so in different capacities with the Super Bowl coming.
Absolutely.
So, you know, and you've been talking about, you know, showing up at sporting events, man, and you've noticing dogs. We know that there's cameras being hung around the city in places. You know, you got to look for them.
I saw one being hung last night. A camera down in the area now, as if they're not enough down around Centennial Park. there was another one. Folks, their cameras are everywhere. And if you're anywhere in a certain perimeter area around Mercedes-Benz Stadium and where a lot of the activity will be taking place. However, there are things that are going to be going out different places. I think
I was just going to say, Shaq
is having something, I think, out at the Battery.
Shaq, traditionally,
yep.
Magic Johnson threw a party.
Yeah,
wherever the Super Bowl was every year, there's going to be parties throughout the city.
And they're erecting something over here at Atlantic
Station.
Concerts. I'm not sure what it is.
Yeah, the concerts are all going to be at State Farm.
Some at State Farm.
Jermaine Dupri's are going to be at State Farm, correct?
Yeah, there's three at State Farm leading up to the night before the Super Bowl.
Right.
You got Cardi B and Bruno Mars, if I'm not mistaken, is the Super Bowl Eve.
Okay, and you got Aerosmith, I believe, is coming in.
Aerosmith's the first night.
So this is not even including what's going on at World Congress Center.
Yep, you got other things too. You got NFL Honors, League's Nationally Televised Award Show. That's going to be at the Fox Theater.
The point is that this city is going to be under a spotlight, and there's going to be a lot of people watching different pockets of this city, other than the obvious locations, in a way that heretofore they haven't been because of this event. Folks don't think about this, but over there at Emory, by the CDC,
mm-hmm.
there's going to be a heightened visibility. Over here by the Federal Reserve Building, there's going to be a heightened visibility. There's a lot of things in this city as we've grown that could be a mark for people who want to cause harm to this city. So the point of this is, you guys, just be very careful out there. Don't pop off and do some crazy stuff in the streets or say a bunch of things out in public, because people are watching.
They really are. They really are. The Media Day, what was formerly known as Media Day, that's opening night now, that Monday night, that's going to be at State Farm Arena.
You hate that. The times that you've done, didn't you say you just...
don't
like that.
They've turned it into such a dog and pony show. They really have. It's like to me, you don't get anything meaningful for a story or anything because you got so much going on in the background. They turn loose some personalities, some characters. They go around having fun with the guy. And that's what it's turned into, a big thing. Plus, they sell tickets for people to come in and watch.
It's a TV show, man. They're already talking about what they're going to do in this year's draft. So the NFL does not miss an opportunity to just look for a whole other revenue stream.
Yep.
Speaking of the NFL, we are going to get back to talking football in the 8 o'clock hour or 9 o'clock hour. Excuse me. We're here till 10 o'clock. We got an extra hour.
Yes, we are.
We got that hour back now that the Falcon season is over with. But speaking of the Falcon season and it being over with, we are going to hear from Coach Dan Quinn in some comments and from Thomas Dimitroff about what is possibly next for this team. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.